neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midianites so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. I mean, just reading this, the Israelites was in a difficult situation. I mean, things have gotten so bad that they got invaded. I mean, just imagine for a second that there was this random country out of nowhere comes and invades the United States. And you had to scatter. You had to be separated from your family. You had to be separated from people that you love, your friends. And this is the situation that the Israelites were in. They were totally invaded. God's people were in such a terrible position. They were living in caves. They were living in mountains. And the reason why they got to that place is that they strayed from God's commands. Yeah. And their hearts have gotten so hard. Yeah. That it got so bad, so they waited to call on the Lord when things got terrible. Right. They waited until things got so bad until they started to call on the Lord. You know, for me, for people who know me here, I have a lot of car issues. I probably use a car illustration for every sermon that I do, all right? And it's a different car, and it's not the same story, which is crazy. But for me, a couple of years ago, I received an Audi A4 2008. Can I get some ooze? That's a nice car, right? And so my mom gave me that car for free, right? And because she was buying a new car, she was like, hey, but it was always something strange to me that she gave me this really nice car for free. I was like, huh, that's interesting. But you know, I just needed a car. I ain't thinking about the repairs. I'm thinking about any of that. So my mom gives me the car, and I'm like, Mom, is there anything wrong with it? And she's like, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I never had any problems. But if you do have problems, we have a mechanic. You can check it out. You know, go to them and get it checked out. And so I was like, all right, cool. So I go pick it up, and I'm just driving this bad boy for a month. I'm feeling good. You know, it had everything. My heated seats, interior was all leather. It was nice. And, you know, so I drove it for about a month and a half. And then I started hearing some knocking noise in the engine. Right? And I'm like, whoa, you know. And usually for me, I don't know about you, but usually when I hear noises coming from cars, I'm hoping it's not mine. Right? You sit in the street, you're hoping, like, is this my car? No, that's that car over there, or, you know. But the reality is, it was coming from our car. So what I did is, I turned the music all the way up and pretended I didn't hear, you know, noises coming from my car. But I just ignored it. And then another month went by, and the car was just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And it was like, it got so bad that I actually got stuck on the parkway at 1 a.m. on my way back from my mom's house. And it was so bad, a brother had to come help me. God bless his soul. He came and helped me out, and you know, he got me out of that situation. And then I realized, wow, this car actually has issues. but why am I telling that story? I'm telling that story because sometimes we wait for things to get so difficult. We wait for things to get so hard until we cry out to the Lord for help. That can be us sometimes, right? Things get ignored, sin gets ignored, things get ignored, and then it gets to a point where it's just so difficult to now I want to cry out to God for help. And that's where the Israelites were at. And so we're going to continue here in verse 7. You guys with me? When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. I delivered you from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. Drop the mic. I mean, God, the Israelites are crying out to God. Please, God, help us. So God's like, all right, because when he sees the misery of his people, he always wants to help, right? So he sends a prophet. And when God sends a prophet, you know some truth is about to get laid out, right? So he sends this prophet, and they're crying out to God, and all the prophet is reminding them of is that he's reminding them of how much God has done for them. You know, when we were together, didn't we win battles? Didn't I get you out of slavery? Didn't I rescue you time and time again? Yet you have not wanted to be with me, nor did you want to listen to me. And the Israelites were like, okay, true. Oh, okay, God, true. Like, yeah, we haven't listened to you. you're still gonna help us, right? You're still gonna get us out of the situation, right? That's probably how the Israelites were thinking. You know, they cried out to the Lord, and all God's reminding them of is how much they haven't been obeying him. You know, and the truth is the Israelites were in a difficult situation. They were oppressed. They were living in caves, right? And so, why am I saying this? Why is this lesson titled, "This Is Your Story"? Because you might be thinking oppression. I mean, we don't have people invading us. But guess what? Sin has oppressed our world.
That's right.
You know, look at your neighborhoods. How many disciples are there? Look at your school. How many disciples are there? Look at this world. How much division is there? How much racism is out there? I mean, you just turn on your social media, turn on your TV. We can see that this world has been oppressed by sin. Sin has oppressed our world. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
And so the Israelites, what they wanted was they wanted God's help, but they didn't want a relationship with God.
Right.
You know, we don't think about this, but the vast majority of people in the world, they pray, God, give me this money. God, give me this car. Give me this job. Give me this boyfriend or girlfriend, wife or husband. And the reality of what people are saying is that, give me what I want. Take all my problems away. But this relationship thing, God, I'm too busy, and I really don't have time for a relationship. But give me what I want. And that's a lot of where our world is today.
Yeah.
And how does God feel about that? God's just like, hey, look, I thought we were going to face those issues together. God's like, wait, I don't want you to get discouraged by the oppression that's going on. Together, I wanted to fight this battle with you. I always wanted to be one with you. I just want to be victorious together. And that's God's heart. But he's saying that you're doing it without me, and you're taking matters into your own hands. And all God wants is to be with us and conquer the world together. And the amazing thing about this is that as far off the Israelites were, yet God is still so compassionate and yet so loving and still wants to rescue his people. You can write this verse down, but Psalm 103, 8 to 12, I read it. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Right.
Wow, what an amazing God that we serve. That no matter how difficult situations are, no matter how difficult we fall into the pit, God is just so compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He's compassionate. He wants to remove our sin. He just wants to be one with us. And guys, we got to remember that as much as we mess up time and time again, yet God rescues us time and time again.
That's right.
And not because how awesome we are, like the brother said, we are awesome. You know, people here are awesome. But no matter how awesome we are, it's not that that gets us close to God. It's the compassion and love of God that brings us to him.
Yeah.
And now, as we know, God doesn't just say, hey, look, I'm going to go save you, but he actually does it. Amen? So now is the call of Gideon. And so anytime there was oppression like this, God always pulls through in finding that one person that he can use to change the world. All right, so let's go to Judges. We're already there. Judges 6, verse 11. You guys with me? It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah. Man, I didn't know Ophrah was in the Bible. Amen. That belonged to Joash, the Abizite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And so an angel of the Lord comes, he sees Gideon, and he's calling Gideon. And so what Gideon was caught doing, and I want us to realize this, is that Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites.
Right.
And usually when someone's threshing wheat, usually the threshing floor is about the size of this room, right? But a wine press is about that much. But about this much, right? So the wine press is this much. So he's threshing wheat inside of a wine press,
right?
Which is, if you really know the reality of that situation, that was very difficult. He was in there hiding the last pieces of wheat that he had so it won't be taken away by the Midianites.
Come on.
He was in such a difficult situation because the Midianites took all his crops, all the land, all the resources, and left him with barely anything. All
right.
But yet, God comes and he calls Gideon. And I know Gideon was in there in that wine press crying, hoping that one day things would change. But the reality is, what about us? What has Satan stolen from us? What fields God wanted us to have that Satan took away? Because it doesn't matter who we are, sin has stolen a lot from us. And in the same way, this is our story. Sin has stolen so much. And God, what does he want to do? He wants to give us our land back. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior."
Come on.
How do you think Gideon responds?
Me? Who?
You talking to me? Lord, you talking to me, mighty warrior. Do you have any idea what I'm doing right now? I'm like actually suffering and I have all this stuff I got going on. And this is what he says in verse 13. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Wow. This is Gideon talking to an angel from the Lord. And what he says is, "The Lord has abandoned us." How broken was Gideon in this moment? He was in one of the lowest situations in his life that he even had a hard time believing that this was even an angel from God telling him to believe again. You know, but this is the way it is in the world. You know, just drive through the streets, we see pain, we see suffering. We see the godlessness, the lack of faith, and the lack of righteousness. And there's even people out there, I believe, that are generally trying to do what's right, but they're just sheep without a shepherd. All right. They don't know. And what happens in life is that people just get used to it and used to it and used to it, and they go, "This is just the way life is."
Yeah.
And that's exactly where Gideon is. He's seen so much oppression, so much pain, so much suffering that he's just, "You know what? This is just the way it is. There's no hope." Gideon has reached that point that this is just life.
Right.
Where are all the wonders? Where are all the things God promised us? Can we feel like that sometime? Can we feel like that? I can feel like that for sure. But again, no matter how bad the situation was, God has a vision, right? No matter how bad it is, God has a vision and a dream to conquer the world for him. God has a dream to see the world turn from sin and commit to righteousness for him. And guys, I want to tell you guys that God has a dream. God has a dream to see your family become disciples. You know, God has a dream for campus students to see disciples made on campus. People that are actually going to follow Jesus. No matter how oppressed sin is on your campus. Teens, God has a dream that you will make the decision to follow Jesus. You might be stuck right now. It might be difficult. But God has a dream for you.
That's right.
No, God has a dream for your CEO that keeps giving you so many assignments. And your boss that just drives you nuts, right? What's crazy is that God has a dream for your workplace as well.
All right.
And guys, most importantly, God has a dream to see those who have walked away from the faith to come back.
Amen.
God has a dream for every person. You guys with me?
Yes.
Judges chapter 6, verse 14.
Come on, Charles.
Yeah, let's get some amens. Let's get some
amen.
Energy in here, all right?
Amen.
Things are about to get real good, all right? Things are about to get, God is about to do some crazy here. Judges 6, verse 14. It says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? Okay, that right there is inspiring. And what does God require of us? Just go. As simple as that is, it is hard to wrap our minds around that, right? Just go? Wait, God, do you realize how weak I am? Wait, just go and help somebody become a Christian? Wait, God, I only know the seeking study by heart. God, I just, you know, it's just, God's like, just go. I want to use you. I want to do incredible things to you. But Gideon couldn't wrap his mind around that level of faith. Are you with me? He couldn't wrap his mind around that. Because in verse 15, he says, pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the least of Manasseh, and I am the least in my Bible talk.
Nice.
There you go.
Hey,
right? That's how you feel sometimes, right? Like, oh, wait, I'm the least. I don't have that many gifts. I don't. But when God sees you, he calls you a mighty warrior. Guess what? With the same issues that you got right now, you're a mighty warrior. You are powerful. Because there's a God who sees you the way that you are. That's how he sees you, as a mighty warrior. And so, just like us sometimes, Gideon, what's the heart that Gideon had? He had a heart that needed to be woken up. He had a heart that needed a boost of faith, an inspiration. God was speaking to Gideon in a way that has never been spoken to him in his entire life. God sees a mighty warrior. And for me, you know, I'm a very insecure man.
Come on, bro.
No, I'm insecure. I right now, as I'm up here, I care so much about how I'm going to say things.
Come on.
I care so much about the fact that I can't fit this top-bottom button. Right? Oh, what are they going to think? Oh, yeah. Oh, he gained a couple pounds now, right? But the thing is, I'm an insecure man. I am, you know, and I battle with that. I battle with insecurities all the time. And, but you know what? They're lies. Satan put so many lies in our hearts. I mean, like, most of the time, most of the insecurities that we feel are just attacks from Satan. You know what Satan's native language is? Lies. Satan fills us up with so many lies. I'm sorry, but when I think about my insecurity and then I look at the Bible and I see what God says, it's black and white. It is nowhere near the way God feels about us. And I know for me, I gotta always have the word of my heart to know what's true and what's false. And the truth of the matter is, the scripture that we're reading today is that you are a mighty warrior. You are someone that God can use to change the world. You can make a difference. You know, but I think the battle a lot is the world wants to tell us who we really are. You know, who you are is how much money you have, which school you went to. You know, your education defines who you are. You know, how many credit cards you got sent to collections is who you are. Right? God still loves you, all right? But let's take care of that, you know? But a credit report, right? What? Just, you know, who your friends are is who you are. You know, my money, my house, where I live, all these different things define who you are. That's what the world tells us. But the reality is that that is false. And who you are and how much you're worth. This is how you determine how you're worth, especially if you're a disciple today. How much you're worth is how much it costs to buy you. You can't calculate your worth based off any worldly means. You calculate your worth based on what it costs to buy you. If you're a disciple today, you are valuable because it cost Jesus' life. And that's how much value you have. Jesus sacrificing his life for you is how you calculate how much you are worth. And that's how we gotta see it. The way God sees us, that's the only way we're gonna get the inspiration that we need. You guys with me? Amen. Verse 16. I'm gonna bring it down here for Lynn.
Come on,
bro.
Verse 16 says, "The Lord answered to Gideon, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.'" Wow. Leaving none alive, God? Like none? Are you going to use me to do that? Yes. God has called Gideon to do that. And Gideon, again, was not capable of this type of thinking. He was not capable of this kind of faith. But the truth is that God can do that. Habakkuk. I think that's how you say it. Chapter 1, verse 5. This is what God says. And I want us to really think about this. But in Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5. "Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." If God was to tell you right now, what would you do through your faith 10 years from now? Would you believe it? If all the things that already happened in your life, if God told you that 10 years ago, would you believe it? God is a God of dreams and visions. And he's saying that, look, and that's exactly what Gideon is feeling now. He's feeling like, what? Like, you're telling me I'm going to strike all the Midianites? It was so hard for him to wrap his mind around that. But the truth of the matter is, God is a God of vision, a God of dreams, that if he was to tell you right now, that's why he didn't tell you anything you're going to do before your baptism. You just get baptized, all right? If God laid out everything that you were going to go through, or that the victories that you were going to have, you wouldn't believe. But if he told you about the struggles that you would have, you probably wouldn't have gotten the water, right? But that's just the reality, is that God is a God of vision, a God of dreams. He wants to inspire. He wants to use you in ways you can even imagine.
Yeah. Come on,
but all he's saying is, just go.
Right.
Just go. The truth is, God, you are part of something amazing.
Yeah. Come on.
You are part of something that everyone is looking for.
Yeah.
You know, you can be used to do incredible things. And I just want to share today, it's going to be my last time speaking to you guys, because I'm being sent out to lead the Bronx Campus Ministry. And that was my Gideon moment for me. I remember just hearing and getting that thumbs up of going.
Come on.
And the first thing I felt was just like, there's no way this is really happening. Right? Like, there's no way I'm being called to go lead a campus ministry.
Amen.
That was nothing when I got baptized, that's not what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. You know? I was thinking about just, I want to be focused on God, I want to grow, and things like that. But to be a leader, lead a campus ministry 5 years later, that was something I never thought about.
Amen.
You know, and I just really want to take this time to thank you guys.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for being such an amazing example for me the last 5 years. I'm grateful for all the people who have had a vision for me. You know, since I came out the waters of baptism, God has called me a mighty warrior ever since.
Yeah.
And You know, I want to take this time foremost to thank Rob Novak.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I'm really encouraged by Rob and how he fought for me. And I'm just so encouraged by him and how much he invested in me and helped me get to where I'm at today.
Yeah.
And for studying the Bible with me, which I'm encouraged to do that. And to have the faith for just 2 hours a week just to go share on that campus to me.
Yep.
You know, I want to thank, you know, Mark, Matt, Kyrie, you guys. You know, one day we're not all going to be together. I know God has amazing plans for you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm just so inspired by you guys' faith. It's been amazing to be just partners in the gospel together.
Yeah.
And just really grateful for you guys. I know God's with you guys in incredible ways. And I know since I'm leaving, I'm still going to be connected to you guys. And we're in this fight together.
Yeah.
You know, and two other special brothers that's in my life is Nick and Gabe. You know, Nick and Gabe has been there when I was a young Christian, and you know, we fought together for our faith in a lot of ways, and he's back there, there he is. And you know, bro, I'm grateful for you, man.
Yeah.
And all the times you've helped me, and how we fought together for our relationship and all those challenges that we had, and God, it's amazing to see what God has done. You know, I want to thank the families of the church.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to be housed by the Jacksons, you know, a couple months after I became Christian.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for them. The Heredias, Hope and Gary.
Yeah.
I was able to live with them for 2 years. And they have helped me and served me so much. And I have been a beast at washing dishes ever since. Gary, thank you. I want to thank the Pinnells. You know, the Pinnells invited me out to dinner before I was even a disciple, and I got to really see what it looks like to see a family, you know, and see disciples that really just care, you know, and to be able to be with them was so inspiring, and their son Rory, who studied the Bible with me as well. So grateful for the Pinnells and the Hugheses.
Yeah.
It's been a huge part of my life.
Absolutely.
No pun intended. I'm just so grateful for you guys and how you guys have shown me hospitality and has really encouraged my faith in so many ways. Just super grateful for you guys. And the Damianos who aren't here, I got to live with them. They're a blessing. I'll give them a call later. And one other family that I really want to thank is the Joneses. Darryl and Allison Jones have been incredible, you know. And then we'll live with them as well and get to see just what a godly marriage looks like.
That's right.
And just what a godly family looks like. And I'm grateful for you guys.
Amen.
So much.
Amen.
And I also want to thank the leadership, the Craigs, the Murdochs, and the Livingstons. I'm so inspired by you guys' faith. And just how much you guys do to help God's church be the way it is today. Snap, is that a booger?
Amen, bro.
Oh, man, thank you.
TMI.
Last but not least, I want to just thank the church for it. Even the small conversations I've had and just seeing you guys' faith inspires me so much.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to be part of the New Jersey region. And there's so much that you guys have done with me. I could be up here all day talking. But God knows what you guys have done. And that, what inspired you the moment is not about people seeing that, but knowing that God saw it. And that was the most important thing. And that's something I would cherish for the rest of my life. And so the truth is, the Bronx, sin has oppressed the campuses in the Bronx. And I've been called to go be a mighty warrior. And I'm going to answer that call. I'm going to go and do that. But for you guys, for us, today is the day when we turn the tide. Mark this day in your calendar. Today is the day when we stop listening to what Satan thinks and listen to what God thinks and what God's people say about us. Believing that God has called you to be a mighty warrior. And I don't know what that calling is for you. I don't know where God is trying to send you or what in what ways he's trying to help use you to serve. But my encouragement is that Gideon's story is our story. And when we answer the call, incredible things will happen. All we have to do is go.
Amen.